Hello there. Thank you for checking out a new edition of R&R's Ask the Expert. There's been quite a few posted over the last few weeks for the coronavirus outbreak. This is another one. Today I am joined by Michael Pinto. He is the president and CEO of Wonder Makers Environmental. He is an indoor air quality expert, a very frequent R&R contributor, and he plays a very active role in the restoration and remediation industry. He really knows his stuff. So let's jump right into it. Hello, Michael. Thank you for joining me. I am just going to start right off and ask what kind of questions you've been getting from your contractor clients regarding the coronavirus outbreak.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And it's always a joy to be with you and to help inform your readers and the viewership here. So clearly, in terms of the restoration industry in response to the pandemic, the main question that I'm getting, and that's over and over again, is we think we want to help. We think we have skills to help. We want a process or a procedure. We don't want to do this without knowing what we're doing. And so people are asking for protocols, and that is consuming probably 90% of the calls that I'm getting right now in regards to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay, so from a disinfection standpoint, that's kind of what you're just touching on. What are some tips you have for being as efficient and effective as possible when doing disinfection?
Well, the first thing is don't call it disinfection. There is, when we're talking about a protocol, there is a protocol. It's actually been put out by both the RIA and the IICRC. And anybody who is a long-term restoration person knows that something like that is in the past would be almost unheard of. But those two organizations are coming together. There's also cooperation with ISSA, the cleaning group. And there just is a lot of people that are coming together to treat this as the emergency and unique situation that it is. That document called the Preliminary Report for Restoration Contractors Responding to COVID is available on the RIA website, and I'm pretty sure IICRC is putting it up, and it's also available through R&R. So get it is the first thing. When people say, what is the protocol and what we should be doing? I say, download that document, print it out, read it. It's about 30 minutes. It's almost 10 pages long, but it's written in a way that leads the reader through it. And owners and operations managers and people like that, they need to really understand the recommendations and the whole big picture of what that document is talking about. Then there's four sections in there related to worker protection and health and the provision of touchpoint cleaning services and application of disinfectants, and then even probably the second most common call I'm getting, what do we do at the end of some service to document the effectiveness of the service? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the document makes very clear, and I agree with wholeheartedly, is that the service that the contractors are providing is cleaning and the application of disinfectants. They are not disinfecting anything. They're not sanitizing anything. They're not sterilizing anything. Those are all terms that have very specific definitions. I saw Anissa's review on that, and she was talking about how contractors are going to get themselves in trouble by using terms that they're not fulfilling. You can't guarantee that you're disinfecting broad surfaces by applying a fog or a mist or any sort of treatment like that. What we can say is that we're applying those disinfectants. In the past, it's been shown that that is helpful. Even the government is using that. You see pictures of in different countries and here in the United States, public spaces being cleaned and treated with those applications of disinfectants. But just start by understanding the language, start by reading the document, and let that sink in a little bit before you just rush out and do something.
Okay, perfect. So you've kind of touched on it already. Do you have any more no-nos when it comes to any of this?
Yeah, the big no-no in my feeling, see, I come from the safety and health standpoint. I am trained as a certified safety professional. And so I always talk about, you know, protecting the workers and then protecting the occupants in the building that you're going to be working in and then protecting the building itself. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you're going to have choices to make. You know, if you've got some of your older workers, supervisors, estimators, and they're in that high risk group, to even if you're in essential service, even if under the lockdown sort of situation, you're able to put people out to help with that, do you really want some of your employees that are 60 and older, which is, hey, right here, do I want to be out in the field? Or do I need to limit my exposure? So that's my first thought. And then second is, you know, we all talk about personal protective equipment for the work we do, for mold work and things like that, and even sewage work and everything. But a lot of times when I'm out in the field, I see it's very casual, and that it just can't happen here. If you're going to put people in an N100, which is our minimum recommendation, the CDC talks about N95s, but we even got it through the RAA and the ICRC document that there's a recommendation to go up to an N100 or a full face, filtering face mask or something higher, whatever you want to do. But they got to wear it, and they got to wear it right, and they just can't cut corners. I saw a situation the other day where somebody was wearing a N95 mask. Unfortunately, this was out in the public, not a restoration contractor. And she was wearing it right here. We're wearing it underneath her nose. I'd pulled it down because I'm sure it was bothering her. It's not going to do you any good. And I don't want one of my employees getting sick because of some gap in the in the rules that we didn't enforce at Wonder Makers, and I would hope that everybody in the restoration industry would treat it as seriously as this. This is big time. We don't want gaps.
Yes, that is very true. Safety first. So kind of looking ahead, I know we don't have a crystal ball, but do you think that there are ways that this is going to change kind of the IAQ industry looking forward? Do you think businesses, schools, hospitals, healthcare facilities, stuff like that will be taking a different approach to disinfection, cleaning, all of that in the future?
I'm sorry if you see me laughing there, Michelle, because I'm old and jaded on these sort of things. And so my belief is that we're going to see an intense focus on this to get us through the pandemic situation. I would hope, and there's going to be a small percentage of building owners and business owners and stuff that are going to learn from this and start to implement some of the things that in the past we've been calling cleaning for health. And I'll just say this as an example. I mean, we have been implementing the procedures that we're talking about now for COVID in terms of cleaning touch points and keeping people distant and sending them home or not letting them come in if they're sick. We have been doing that for 15 years at Wonder Makers. And in that time, we have not had a single transmission of the flu during flu season in all those years, right? Because we just follow the rules that we've known about for decades and enforce it. And it seems to make a difference for us, our small company. Whether people are going to do that on a large scale basis, my experience has been that once the crisis has passed, that people just go back to looking at their budgets and saying, oh, custodial, we can cut that. Or, oh, why do we want to spend that much for, you know, cleaning? And I think it's going to drop back to normal. And I think it's not going to be the new normal either. I think that's, you know, going to set us up for another one of these in 2 years' time or 10 years' time.
Well, you are probably right. I don't know that that's jaded. I think that's just how society is, unfortunately. So I guess we will find out. Okay. Is there anything else that you want to add that we haven't covered you think contractors should know at this point?
Mr. Optimistic, I'm sorry to burst your bubble on that last one, but yes, I would. I think that the other big thing from my perspective is, yes, start with the IRA, ICRC document, and then realize that that document is not prescriptive or focused on any one organization. And so what needs to happen is the organization needs to take that and say, okay, Well, these are the pieces of equipment that we have. These are the systems that we have. These are the chemicals that we're familiar with. And I would argue, don't try and jump into something new at this point in time. You can't even buy an electrostatic sprayer, I don't think, if anybody's even got any. But if you're not familiar with using an electrostatic sprayer, don't just jump into that right now. If you're used to using ultra-low volume foggers, find the chemicals that are suitable to be applied through the ultra-low volume fogger. Use what you're familiar with. Go back to the tried and true chemicals that have been in our industry. Use the sorts of things that are going to match up with your experience and the customer's needs. And then it really is about protecting your employees, cleaning those frequently touched surfaces very well, and then applying the disinfectants to try and control the spread of the viral contaminants.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Michael, for your time. I really appreciate it. And yes, to everyone who's watching, you can find the document Michael was talking about on our website, which is rnrmagonline.com, in case you're watching this on Facebook or elsewhere. You can find it on restorationindustry.org. And I believe it's IICRC.org is the IICRC's website. I'll make sure that it's all along the bottom for you guys. You can find that document. It is free. Download it, read it, digest it, know it. Good luck to everybody who is providing services right now, trying to stay open as an essential business. Stay healthy, stay safe. Thanks, Michael.
Stay safe indeed. You too, Michelle. Bless you.
Bless you.